Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Tennessee Lottery, Mickey Ryan. My friend Joe Leadingham from News 2 sitting in a little bit longer with us today for Brent and Don. Joined now by our buddy Chris Lowe. Chris, who was most surprised today that the SEC transfer rule passed? Was it Nick Saban?
No, I think everybody probably thought that was the direction they were going to go in, even Saban. You know, and even though he'd been the guy that had sort of been holding firm on that rule, let's face it, and the one thing about Nick is he evolves. He's not one that's going to sit pat and fight something. When rules change, he's been known to evolve, and he may stand to gain on this thing. You know, if you don't think if there are some guys that transfer, whether they're at lower levels or other places, and want to go and have a chance to win a championship, that Alabama might not be a place that they try to go if they need to plug in a receiver or a pass rusher or even a quarterback. Now, on the flip side, here's a scenario for you. What if Jalen Hurts decides, let's say he doesn't win the job, okay, but he graduates. He's on track to graduate
right
this year. He could transfer and go play at Auburn. He could go play at Georgia. He could go play at Tennessee. He could play at LSU. Anywhere he wants and be eligible immediately and play against Alabama the next year.
We've discussed this a lot on the show, and kind of where we all fell was, I mean, you're a student athlete, and if you go and you check off all the student boxes to literally get yourself to the point that you could graduate and still have eligibility left, whether you're one of those people who, they're just absolute freak academic people who can do it in 3 years, or if you do it in four and you got a redshirt year academically or because of injury, I don't understand why you would stand in somebody's way at that point. I know we've talked about that with you a little bit before, but where do you stand on that? Are you good with this rule?
No, I think here's my take on it. If you're going to have the rule, and obviously enough people in the SEC think it's a good rule that they implemented, then if you graduate, then you should have the right to go over wherever you want to go. But again, it wasn't Saban's rule that the SEC
right.
had that clause in there that you could not transfer within conference. That's something that the rest of the league had voted on. They didn't want players moving within conference and not having to sit out at least a year. So I think he was just saying, listen, that's the rule we have in the league. That's what I'm going to abide by. And I understand coaches who don't want to invest 3 years in a player and have him go somewhere else where you got to play against them and potentially, they come back and they beat you or you just have to face them. But I think in general, Mickey, if that rule is one that the SEC believes in. And I agree that you step foot on campus, your number one goal is to graduate, whether you play
right.
football, basketball, whatever. So few of these guys and gals ever going to make money professionally in their sport. So if you get your degree and still have a year of eligibility, then why shouldn't you be able to go where you want to go? It's just that caveat had been the sticking point in the SEC that they didn't want people going within the conference and playing right away. But now that's gone, it's wide open.
Chris, Joe Leadingham here. This has got to be a big win for the student-athlete, doesn't it? You got to think this is a step in the right direction for them.
No question. And I think that's ultimately, as the president's voted on this, that's why they voted the way they did, to give the student-athlete more freedom, more flexibility. And, again, it's not... I know some people call it free agency. Maybe in to some degree it is. Because let's be honest, this rule was put in place initially for academic reasons. That if a kid
right.
if a kid had gotten his degree from one school and wanted to go into another school and get his graduate degree in a curriculum that his current school didn't have, that's why it was put in place. But that's not why kids are using it now. They're using it now to go on and further their career. If they're behind a great quarterback, then go somewhere else and play. But no, it's still a plus. It's definitely a win for the kid, because now if you have the discipline and the commitment to get your degree in 3 years, and you still have a year of eligibility, then you've got options. You know, you can go somewhere else. Maybe you're at a place like an Ohio State or an Alabama or an SC that they're loaded at your position, and, well, hey, you got your degree, you got your diploma. Let me go see and take my shot somewhere else and see if I could parlay that into having a big year and maybe enhance my chances to go play pro ball somewhere.
Chris Lowe, our guest from ESPN.com. I know the grad transfer rule, Chris, has gotten most of the ink and most of the discussion this week. Was there anything else that Greg Sankey talked about or anything else that passed that sort of caught your attention from the spring meetings this year?
Mickey, I think the other thing that fans are probably will start hearing more about is the SEC had the rule in place that if you transferred into the SEC, then the league would not take kids who had either pled guilty or been convicted of a violent crime, you know, sexual, any kind of sexual misconduct, domestic violence, that kind of thing. Well, that rule has been broadened now to include high school athletes, not just transfers. So, in other words, not just a kid that was leaving Michigan State because he got in trouble, he transferred to Tennessee or Alabama. Over and above those transfer scenarios, now it's the kid in high school who's had some kind of issue, you know, that the SEC deems, you know, serious misconduct, you know, again, domestic violence, sexual assault, that kind of thing, where they've either been convicted or pled guilty to, they will not be allowed to come to the SEC. So I think that's the other part of that rule that was brought in these meetings that I think is going to come into play, because we've seen that a number of times over the last few years where kids have had issues along those lines. And remember the kid at Georgia that went to Alabama, Jonathan Taylor, or tried to go to Alabama? Now it's not, again, it's not just transfers, it's kids in high school.
Chris, I got one more back on the trick graduate transfers. Does this open any, what is allowed and what isn't allowed? Is there going to be a whole new level of recruiting for guys that graduate? Can these other schools talk to these guys? Like, what is the procedure that goes on? Because I got to think at this point, what if there's a guy that is graduating? Can another school talk to them and these guys can float around and be basically like a hired gun for a season? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, and that's the fear. That's the fear of coaches, that, you know, guys like Saban who didn't want this, that it would become glorified free agency. But no, you're not supposed to. While a kid's on scholarship plan, you know, you can't recruit him. You can't have contact with him. But once they graduate, you know, then all's fair. You know, and that's what it is. And that's really, you know, for 90% of these kids, it's a chance to go. You call it a hired gun. Maybe a team loses a player early to the draft. Well, they're looking for a quarterback. Well, guess what? Jalen Hurts just graduated from Alabama. He didn't win the job. Tonga Vailoa won the job. I think wasn't it Hurts' dad who called him potentially, if he doesn't win the job, the biggest free agent in college football history?
Yeah. Well, former conference, what, offensive player of the year?
So there you have it. So, again, just using him as an example, they would be lining up to get a kid like that. But you can't tamper with him, yeah, you know, while he's, you know, still on scholarship and playing. But once he graduates and becomes eligible to be, you know, to go where he wants to go, then because of this waiver, or not waiver, because of this ruling today where he's not blocked from going anywhere in conference, I mean, you could see him at Auburn the next year, or Georgia, or Tennessee, playing against Alabama, which to me is the most fascinating part of this ruling, is that you could have a situation like that, and again, using Hurst as an example, and you know he would probably be pretty motivated to play against Alabama if he didn't win the job. Well, he'd get to play against him the next year.
Chris, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time, and hope you have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week, buddy.
Hey, look forward to it, guys. Take care, all right?